Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York invites you to be the informed patient with the podcast that features experts from Central New York's only academic medical center. I'm your host, Amber Smith. Recovering from traumatic injuries often involves surgeries and medications and physical rehabilitation, but emotional and psychological recovery is important too. I'm talking about that with Nurse Genevieve DeFrancesco. She's a trauma nurse navigator at Upstate and also an active member of the Society of Trauma Nurses and the American Trauma Society. Welcome to The Informed Patient, Ms. DeFrancesco.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are a trauma nurse navigator. Can you please start by telling our listeners what a trauma nurse navigator does?
The role of trauma nurse navigators really varies by institution, but the primary focus is aimed at guiding patients and family members through the recovery process. In my position here at Upstate, I meet with patients and their loved ones to review the hospital experience, answer any questions they may have, coordinate care across the multidisciplinary team. A large component of my work involves my role in the mental health trauma and burn team, and that involves conducting assessments, facilitating conversations, and arranging psychological support to help patients manage the emotional impact of their injuries. Our team is a multidisciplinary team that includes myself as the nurse navigator and two psychologists, Dr. Chai and Dr. Hagen.
You're not in the emergency department when they come in. You're seeing them after they've been stabilized and treated and closer to when they're going to be going home. Is that right?
It varies. It's pending medical stability. So sometimes that's meeting patients when they're still in the ICU here. Sometimes it's meeting them when they've made it to the medical floor, but it's when they're still inpatient and hospitalized.
And when we talk about trauma patients, what sorts of trauma does that include?
It includes all different kinds of trauma. So here at our level one trauma center, our most frequent mechanism of injury is falls and motor vehicle accidents. But I also meet with people on our burn service who have been injured by burn injuries. We also see injuries from recreational accidents, farming accidents, all sorts of different things.
Now, you received grant money to study the psychological symptoms affecting trauma survivors admitted to a level one trauma center. What are the most common types of psychological trauma following a traumatic injury that you see?
Traumatic injuries, like you mentioned, don't just affect the body. They can have a huge emotional impact too. Largely, people are starting to call this the invisible injury. So it's uncommon to experience things like increased worries, feeling restless, sometimes feeling tense or on edge, or changes in mood, just feeling down, irritable. Nobody plans to come to the hospital. Nobody plans to get into an accident. So this can be very normal to experience stuff like that, but that's why we want to screen and address what people are feeling, because without going treated, these symptoms can turn into something a little bit more. So screening and addressing the symptoms, providing support can prevent further psychological distress down the line.
So I'm imagining if you're in a really bad car crash, that it would be hard to get back in a car. Or if you fell down the stairs, it's probably going to be pretty hard to be near stairs again. Do you work on things like that to help people reintegrate back into their lives?
The psychologists on the team will be the ones working and providing the interventions with our patients. And those sessions vary patient to patient. Some of it can include what to do and how to prepare for situations like that. And you're right, sometimes it can be nerve-wracking to get into a car or whatever the mechanism of injury was. But it's not always the case. Not everybody struggles, but the psychologists do work with patients and tailor the interventions to what patients are experiencing and discussing.
What are the symptoms of post-trauma depression, and how soon might it develop?
Depression after injury isn't always obvious, and it doesn't look the same for everyone. Sometimes it shows up as persistent sadness, feeling down for most of the time. Sometimes people say they've just losing interest in doing things that they enjoyed, even lacking motivation to do things, irritability, trouble sleeping. The list goes on, and it's not the same for everybody. But something that we see here that we might not always think could be a sign of depression is kind of starting to take a step back from rehabilitation, whether it's working with the physical therapists or the occupational therapists. So just like really learning more about what's going on with the patients, and that's through collaboration with the medical team, the nursing staff, the OT staff, to see what people are experiencing while they're experiencing it. And these symptoms can occur shortly after the injury and persist. It really depends on how long they persist. And that's a lot of what this research is about, trying to figure out what is still going on after they leave the walls of this hospital, because recovery doesn't stop when you get discharged from this hospital. It continues to recover as you're out in the community.
Well, I understand trauma is different for everyone who experiences it, but do you know how many trauma patients struggle with psychological trauma?
Research shows that up to like around 40% right now of people are likely to struggle after they've been discharged from a hospitalized injury. What we know at our institution is upwards to around 50% of our patients are screening at high risk to develop psychological distress after this injury. So that's really why we have this team to address what's going on and how to prevent them after leaving to going on to continue to struggle. With our burn population, it's a little bit higher. The research there is a little bit higher of how many people are suffering with psychological injuries after they're in physical injury.
This is Upstate's The Informed Patient podcast. I'm your host, Amber Smith. I'm talking with trauma nurse navigator Genevieve DeFrancesco. Now, I want to hear more about your research. What can you tell us about the focus of your study?
We're really looking to see what psychological symptoms persist beyond their hospital stay. So 30 days after discharge, what symptoms are people having and what factors may predict them? We're going to be identifying patients who are at higher risk and potentially tailoring what we're doing inpatient to prevent people from continuing to struggling. Understanding both the symptoms and the follow-up care piece is going to be important to improve long-term recovery.
Do you think that more severe trauma is more likely to prompt someone to develop a depression afterward? I know your study is going to kind of look at that, but just going into it, do you think that's the case?
No, it's interesting that you bring that up, because a lot of people are under the assumption that, yes, the bigger, the worse the accident is, the injury is, the more likely they are to struggle. And severity of the injury does play a role, but it's definitely not the only factor. We know from research that biological aspects such as pain, physical limitations matter, as well as psychological factors. Does somebody have a pre-existing mental health condition? How do they perceive their injury? What coping skills may they have already that they're able to utilize? What coping skills do they lack? Social influences. Was there a family member that was injured in the accident with them? Are they under any financial stress, potential job loss for their injury? All these factors are very important, and it's really just the combination of the biological, the psychosocial, and not just how severe the injury was that kind of shapes somebody's physical and mental health recovery after injury.
So how will this research project work? How long will it last? Who will be included? What are all the specifics like that?
Any patient seen by our mental health trauma and burn team during their hospital admission who meets criteria for the study, so age requirement, you have to be older than 18, no moderate to severe traumatic brain injury. There's certain requirements, but anybody who meets those requirements is able to participate. And what we're going to be doing is sending an online survey link and having these participants answer the survey 30 days after their discharge.
And then you'll look at all of those results, or a computer will help you look at all those results to see what the answers are. Across what time span? Yes. When do you expect to have all of your data together?
We are collecting participants for an entire year. I'm hoping to at least get around 250 participants. We have an amazing team. So I am doing this research, but I have a couple of amazing team members helping me with this. We have a statistician from our hospital who's been great. So he's going to help us with the data and to see not only their data from previously in the hospital, but what other associated factors, demographics, things like that influence their recovery process.
Now, how do you screen patients currently for mental health issues, the trauma patients that come in?
Both trauma and burn service patients get screened by the MTEP team, the mental health trauma and burn team, using evidence-based validated screening tools. Currently, we're using the Injured Trauma Survivor Screen, And these questions are pretty straightforward, and they ask questions about mental health history, any symptoms they might be feeling currently, and feeling things like if people thought they might die during the injuries. There's a whole bunch of different things. These screens are completed usually a couple days after admission, but pending medical stability of the patient. It requires a lot of collaborating with the medical team, the nursing staff, to make sure that these patients are appropriate to be completing the screens, and patient willingness too. Nobody has to complete it. It's completely their choice.
Well, what happens when one is identified as high risk for mental health struggles?
Anyone who completes the screening and is identified as high risk will have the option to meet with our psychologists while they're inpatient. They're also given outpatient resources such as mental health providers in their area, free online support groups, and we go over coping skills during the session to learn how to help reduce symptoms.
Can you tell us about the Trauma Family Handbook?
This was a guide created for families and patients that explains different types of injuries and what to expect with them. It discusses the roles of different medical providers they may see during their hospital stay, also explains some upstate-specific services, policies, resources, and even locations for things such as the cafeteria or the parking office.
It seems like if someone comes in for a scheduled surgery and then they go home to recover, it always seems like recovery takes longer than it should. Like it takes a long time for your body to get back to normal. Is that longer when it's a traumatic injury and maybe there's more than one broken bone or there's a lot going on with someone? How many months can it take for the body to get back to normal?
Well, that's a loaded question, and that's kind of tough to say. It's really dependent on the person and what pre-existing conditions they have. But what we do know about research and in terms of psychological and physical recovery is psychological recovery goes hand in hand with physical. So if you're struggling emotionally, you're also at a risk for having a longer physical recovery. So that's why like a lot of the work we're doing is really important. And there's been a huge push for it because those who have been struggling emotionally have been shown to have increased length of stays or longer recovery time.
Do the patients that are having trouble recovering get the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder? Is that a term that's used in this situation? Because we think of that with military veterans.
It's completely dependent on the clinician. So to formally be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or depression, one needs to really undergo evaluation from a licensed mental health professional. And PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder is formally not diagnosed or term isn't given until 30 days after the injury. So there's a lot of different criteria that has to be met. If someone's having symptoms of the hypervigilance, meaning feeling on edge, tense, maybe jumpy, or having some flashbacks, nightmares linked to the traumatic event, it doesn't necessarily mean they have PTSD, but it's definitely something that should be evaluated by a mental health professional. So in short answer, yes, some people do go on to develop PTSD. But right now, we aren't really able to determine that because we're not seeing them from the follow-up.
Well, before we wrap up, what can you tell us about the Trauma Survivors Network?
The Trauma Survivors Network is a national program that offers peer support, education, and resources for trauma survivors and their families. It's a way to link survivors to each other, and it's peer support. So they have free online peer support groups. They have support groups for families and caregivers. And I think I mentioned before, but peer and social support is really crucial during recovery. So a way we can provide this is through this network, and it's completely free to our patients. And it's just a really great resource that we have here to connect people to each other.
Well, that's good to know. I appreciate you making time for this interview, Ms. DeFrancesco.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Genevieve DeFrancesco. She's a trauma nurse navigator at Upstate. The Informed Patient is a podcast covering health, science, and medicine, brought to you by Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, and produced by Jim Howe, with sound engineering by Bill Broquel and graphic design by Dan Cameron. Find our archive of previous episodes at upstate.edu/informed. If you enjoyed this episode, please invite a friend to listen. You can also rate and review the Informed Patient podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you tune in. This is your host, Amber Smith, thanking you for listening.